The Lord be with you. Children, thank you so much. Thank you for reminding us of the real meaning of Christmas. Thank you for singing and praying so beautifully this morning. Grade 5 and 6 kids, you have something special with Pastor John. You can leave now and go to your room. John will meet you at the back. Today, as we come forward for the Lord's Supper, it'll be a little different because we've got all these kids with us, and some of the parents have not had an opportunity to talk with their children about the meaning of the Lord's Supper. Some of our kids are probably too young to receive the Lord's Supper. So what we're going to do is we will have the three teams serving the Lord's Supper, and then there will be three pastors beside each one of those teams. And if you're coming from the back and you have children sitting with you where you're seated, you can receive the Lord's Supper, but one of the pastors will gently touch your child on the shoulder and say a special blessing upon them. And when we come time for you kids in the front, your teachers will lead you forward and you won't receive communion. But one of the pastors will touch you on the shoulder and give you a special blessing in the name of the Lord. Now, let's talk about Christmas. We've already been singing and worshiping this wonderful Jesus who came. For us Christians, the icon or the image or picture of the manger and the picture of the cross and the picture of the table are very, very special. If you take the manger or the cross or the table away from Christianity, or you take them out of the church, you have no message. You have no Christianity. Let me illustrate. If one of the kids here today in Sunday school drew a very crude picture of a manger and brought it home and gave it to mom or to dad, the moment you looked at that crude drawing of a manger, of course you'd praise your child for doing such a good job. But as you looked at the line drawing of the manger, your brain would go in two completely opposite directions. That's the power of a symbol. First of all, you would look at the manger and you would think about what a manger actually is. Now, boys and girls, what are mangers for? Yes. Feeding cows. You would think of the most practical, we would say as adults, utilitarian purposes for a manger. A manger is a very crude piece of wooden furniture designed for a barn to feed cows and oxen and sheep and animals like that. But as Christians, when we look at the manger, we don't just think of its practical purpose in feeding animals. What else do we think about? Kids? Yes. Yes, the birth of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Our mind goes way down here to a barn and way up here to God sending his son Jesus to be born in that manger. So we look at the symbol of the manger and we think of animals feeding and God descending. We think of meekness and majesty wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in that manger. When we look at the symbol of the cross, boys and girls, I want you to look at that cross right there. Or you see a cross hanging from your mummy's neck. Or you see a cross plunked on some hill somewhere. Our minds, by the power of that symbol, go in two completely opposite directions. First of all, when we see a stake like this, a vertical stake and a horizontal stake coming together like this, we think of its practical purpose. What was the cross originally for? Now, boys and girls, are you old enough to understand what the cross was originally for? Can anybody tell me what a cross was for? Yes. Yes. This little girl understands that a cross was invented by the ancient Romans to crucify people, to kill people. That's a horrible thing, but we have to talk about that in church, and you're old enough to understand that. So our minds go down to the very worst thing that human beings can do to each other. They can nail people on crosses like that. But as Christians, Our minds don't stay there. They are elevated to the most wonderful and glorious thoughts about God. Because you see, the Jesus that was born and laid in the manger was also the Jesus who chose to die on a cross. And so when we look at the cross, we think of humanity's worst and we think of God's best. We look at the cross and the power of the symbol reminds us of how much God loves us and how holy God is and how just He is. It's mysterious, but our minds go in two completely opposite directions. And then when we walk into church and we look at this wooden table, exactly the same thing happens. You see, there's few things more common and rugged and earthy as a table. How many of you kids have a table in your house? Can I see your hands? What do you primarily do at that table? Can somebody tell me? Eat. Tables are for eating. And do you know that almost every house in the entire world, in every culture, that's what people do with a table. They eat. Ah. But if you take a table from a person's house or from a factory or from a store, and the moment you put that table in a place of worship like this, it's no longer just a common table. The table becomes something much more important, much bigger, because of what it symbolizes. The table becomes the place where we encounter God. It becomes the place where we remember what God has done for us. It becomes the place that actually defines who we are as a church. The table even defines what we're all about in our mission. Nobody would say, oh, that's just a table. And you know, if somebody came along one day and they came to me and they said, Pastor Brian, I think we should do without this table for a while. We could get a few more rows of chairs in if it wasn't for that table. And if it wasn't for the table, we might have 10 or 15 more minutes to do some other things in the service. Oh, that person would have a fight on their hands. And it's not because the table is so expensive. Listen, kids, it's because the common bread and the common wine on that table ceases to be common once it's on that table. Once we bless it, or what adults call consecrate it, we actually experience the presence of Jesus at this table. Isn't it amazing that the God who created the universe has chosen to reveal Himself to us through these common wooden means, through a wooden manger and a wooden cross and through a wooden table? A wood is always associated with things that are what we call unpretentious, or they're accessible. Anybody can get their hands on wood. Now, some of your parents have been married. Well, probably not very many of them have been married for 25 years, and when they are, they will celebrate their silver wedding anniversary. And if your grandparents are married for 50 years, they celebrate what anniversary? Golden. And a few lucky people get to live long enough and get to stay married long enough to celebrate their 75th anniversary, and then it's called a diamond anniversary. Do you see that? The longer you're married, the greater the reward. The greater the reward, the more precious the metal. You go from silver anniversary to gold anniversary to diamond anniversary. How long do you have to be married to celebrate your wooden anniversary? 5 years. Oh, just about all of us can reach 5 years. Some don't, but most couples do, and that's just the point. The silver and the golden and the diamond anniversary are inaccessible for most of us, especially the diamond. And this is the point that the Christian story makes. Very few of us can ever, access a God who lives beyond the diamonds. Ah, but God has chosen to access us through wood. Through the wood of the manger and through the wood of the cross and now through the wood of the table. You know, today, this is the message of Christmas. God is saying to us, I have found you. I've accessed you. I've come down to you through the wood of the manger. I've reached out to you through the wood of the cross, and I will continue to talk to you and minister to you and meet you through the wood of the table. Paul put it this way, for God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is right here, right now. Now, there are some people that we call skeptics. And some of you are skeptics, and some of your moms and dads are skeptics. And sometimes I'm a skeptic. A skeptic is a person that has a really hard time believing in Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with being a skeptic. Jesus loves skeptics. But sometimes skeptics hear this news that I've just told you about how close and accessible God is to us, and they say, okay, accessible, yes, but understandable, no. I can believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, and I can believe that he died on a cross outside of Jerusalem. I believe the history of all of that. Yes, accessible, yes, but understandable, no. I don't understand how God could become a tiny baby. I don't understand how a virgin could conceive a baby and give birth. And I don't understand how through the death of one man, the sins of the entire world could be forgiven. And I don't understand how that Jesus will come again physically and make the whole world right. Accessible, maybe, you've got a point, but understandable, no. And if I cannot fully understand, I will not fully commit. That's what skeptics say. And though that is a very honest response, it is equally as short-sighted. And let me explain why. Though God has made himself accessible to us through the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and pouring out of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, though he's accessible, though we can lay our hands on him, or better, he can lay his hands on us through these common means, he is not just accessible, he is mysterious. He's accessible, but he's the creator. He's mysterious, but he's holy. And because he's the creator and we are the created, we are not intended to get our minds around the mind of the creator. Isaiah said that his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And that's why the Bible makes it so clear that if we are to access the God who makes himself accessible, we're going to have to come to him by faith. By faith. There's nothing wrong with reason, but we're not saved by reason. We are saved only by faith. And that's why Jesus said, unless you come to me as a little child, you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then later, Jesus prayed this amazing prayer. He said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little children. You know, kids, this is why a lot of adults can't or choose not to become Christians. Because in order to follow Jesus, they have to become like you. They have to become like you in that they exercise simple faith in what God has said. They believe before they understand. And for a lot of people, that's very, very difficult. You know, the very first time that I remember encountering God is when I was 5 years old. And I didn't have the mental faculties to understand all the nuances of the doctrine of the atonement or salvation or all these big words. But you know what I did understand and believe? That when my grandma told me that night that we worshiped a God who could actually clean my dirty conscience, I said, I want that God. And she said, are you willing to confess your sins? And I said, yes. And the two of us got down on our knees, and I gave my heart to Jesus. How much do you have to understand to believe that your grandma's right? Not very much. But that was the beginning of a journey for me. And then later, as a 14-year-old, I didn't understand all the intricacies of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but I heard a preacher that I can't even remember what his name is now, who preached that Jesus gave a gift of the Holy Spirit to me, and that if I invited the Holy Spirit to come into my heart and to take charge of me, that he could actually change the way I behave, and he could begin to make me more and more like Jesus. And though I didn't get it and understand how it worked, I knew that my job that night was to put my faith in this Jesus who was giving me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little children. And so the message here today is pretty simple. The accessible, mysterious God is extending an invitation to every single person here to put their faith in him. And the Holy Spirit, who has been here through the whole service, will give you the ability to do that. But God is clearly honest about this. He says, you don't have to come to me. And I will not pressure you to come. But if you don't come to me, it's not because I have not made myself accessible to you. I've reached down in the manger. I've reached out to you from the cross. And now through the table, through this common bread and wine, I will reach into you and I will nourish your hungry spirit. Let's do that right now. Let's prepare our hearts to encounter Jesus through the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. If your head is bowed right now and you've heard the kids sing these wonderful songs about the Lord, and you've heard this little message that I have brought, and there's something in your heart, something in your conscience that's saying, I have to step across the line. I have to choose to believe before I fully understand. I have to be truthful and faithful with the revelation God has given me and not stay away from him because of the revelation that he hasn't given me. And if that's you today, why don't you just respond to Jesus by saying, yes, Lord. Yes, I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for paying the penalty of my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you are alive. And I believe that by your Holy Spirit, you are here now. I invite you into my heart. Change me. I cannot change myself. And Lord, we pray now for the ministry of your Holy Spirit upon every child and every adult as we come to this table and celebrate your death on the cross for us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take this common bread and common wine and that you would minister the life of the risen Jesus to each one of us. And may every child feel very, very loved and blessed as a pastor touches them and blesses them in your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Pastor Jim and I are going to serve the servers and the musicians, and then those of you in the back, you can come forward right away and we will serve you the Lord's Supper. If you are a follower of Jesus, this table is for you. If you're not yet a Christian and you're on a journey and you're just trying to figure all of this out, it's perfectly good to stay in your seat. You don't have to come forward. Please don't feel in the least bit pressured. And we will give a piece of bread to you in extended hands. You can take the bread, dip it in the cup. The bread represents the body of Jesus. The cup represents the blood of Jesus poured out for us. You can dip it and eat it here or go back to your seat. And remember, boys and girls, when it's your turn, you can come forward and one of the pastors will bless you.